Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, and producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Chris Jones. And we have two guests in the studio. We are Facebook Live today, so if you want to go on Facebook, Facebook is live, and you'll get to see the show through Facebook and hear it also on Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston. But in the studio with me this morning, Captain Michael Sharkey Marquez, and we have Captain Jeff Nailum Naylor.
Nailum Naylor, baby.
Nailing him. Looks like you nailed him the other day, too.
Oh, heck, we gave him a good run.
Yeah, you did. Good runs better than no runs.
Boy, you ain't kidding.
But welcome to the show, folks. This is going to be a little bit different, but we're going to have fun with it.
You dang right.
Real quick, I'll get it out of the way. Weather-wise, down in G-Town, down in Galveston on the island, it's 75 degrees down there. Winds are quite brisk. They're pretty southerly right now, about 15 to 20. And then today, they're calling for a 10% chance of rain with cloudy skies early, followed by partial clearing and near record high temperatures again today. We broke records all over the place with high temperatures yesterday. Quite warm for April. But south-southeast winds will be 15 to 25 today with a high of around 80 on the island. A little bit warmer up here on the high ground. But tonight, 20% chance of rain, some clouds, low of 73. Winds will be south-southeast at 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow, 40% chance of rain, partly cloudy early, scattered thunderstorms developing in the afternoon with a high of 79. Winds will be south at 10 to 20. And I'm not seeing that northern switch. I don't, we're supposed to be getting a front in here today. It's supposed to go, but maybe this site is off right now. Maybe just a bad report there. We're getting used to that, fake news and everything else, you know. What else is new?
Yeah, we're used to that.
But anyway, here's our tide schedule. These are Galveston Channel tides. Today we got a four-tide schedule. We're on a low right now. Our high is at 8:52 a.m. It's a 1.3 coming off an 0.2. Then a low at 1:36 p.m., a 1.0. And then at 5:36 will be our last high tide of the day, a 1.1. 7:13 a.m. sunrise, 7:35 p.m. sunset. And our moon phase right now is 10%. And current conditions offshore, we have a south-southeast wind at 18, gusting to 22. Water temp out there 74. Eagle Point, 77-degree water with a south wind at 18, gusting to 22. And at Morgan's Point up in the north end of the complex, it is 77-degree water with a south wind at 8 to 15. And barometric pressure at all these stations are all exact this morning, 29.78 inches and falling. So there's your weather and forecast. And here we go.
Here we go, boys.
Yes,
morning, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. So what have y'all been up to? I know, you know, you're shut down right now.
Yep.
You can't guide trips in Galveston County.
It's brutal.
I can't believe they, it just doesn't make any sense that they can shut charters down. I mean, fishing's the last escape right now.
Fishing's essential.
It is.
And we are shut. We are shut down. And I know there's some people that are trying to do some stuff to change that. But as far as right now, we are shut down. And you know, we take private families out, and those families are living together. They're under the same roof anyway. So
yeah,
you know, we're taking extra precautions to clean our boats at the end of the trip and sanitize the handles and you name it. I mean, we're doing everything we can. But
man, that you brought that up. I mean, what is guiding coming to? I was looking through Facebook yesterday. I like to surf around and laugh at stuff because there is a lot of funny stuff on Facebook. And one guide was advertising on there. You know, book your guided trips, and he was giving the price per person and all that, and said, "And if you book with me and go with me, you'll get free latex gloves and a mask to wear." I said, "That's it, man. I'm out.
I'm out.
I like to spit my coffee out." I said, "That is
that's a new selling point."
Yeah. You know, well, hey, I'm going to step it up a notch. All my guided trips, I'm going to go with gloves and mask, but you get a 12-pack of Charmin toilet paper.
A 12-pack? That's excessive.
He just said that live on air, you guys. I did.
I couldn't resist it.
Book it. Anyway. Book it. Man, your phone is really going to be blowing up with some trips now.
Oh, I'm telling you.
You're live. Everybody heard it.
They'll be beating the doors down.
Is it the, you going to go with the extra soft, or what are you?
Oh, yeah. It's Charmin, yeah. My hiney's clean.
Oh,
whichever one that is. As you know, with the bears on there,
mm-hmm.
My wife hates that commercial. But Naylor, now you're out of Freeport. What's the deal over there in your county? You're what, in Brazoria County?
Yeah, we're in Brazoria County. We haven't been shut down like you, the gals and guys or anything like that.
Yeah.
So we're still running good and strong. you know, haven't had any cancellations, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been calling, but you know, basically we've told everybody, you know, I mean, as long as we can legally run, we're going to do everything we can to sanitize and keep everything good and clean. And hey, babe, get on that boat. Go.
Well, there's nothing cleaner than a guide's rig, you know, because I always wash down with Clorox anyway.
Oh, yeah.
We use a lot of bleach.
Oh, yeah.
And,
every single time.
You know, just to cut down on other bacterias and things like that.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, well, most guides do. Some guides are rigs or gut wagons, man. I'm not going to name any
gut wagons.
I got some buddies, man. They got some rank boats.
Some
they get to
gut
running
wagons.
All 7-8 days in a row and just a little rinse out.
Yeah.
We're good to go tomorrow.
Are you sanitizing right now?
Is that what I saw? I've got Celebrity Cruise Lines pump spray you carry in your pocket.
Wow. Look at that. We're talking about the virus, and we're spraying down.
That's what I was using at the fishing show. It did me a lot of good.
You
got
to hit
flu
some of that
after I left there.
Well,
hit it up anyway.
It.
But it's all good. And, you know, we're gonna have question and answer on here. If you'd
absolutely.
Like to call in and ask questions on Facebook. You can message.
That's
Michael's keep an eye on that, and
I do.
If
I got to
if you're not a Facebooker and you want to text me and ask us questions, specific questions, we're going to do that too. It's 713-480-6713. 713-480-6713. Give me a call or send me a text, rather. Don't call me. And we have no phone lines, but shoot a text and we'll answer your questions the best we can. Now, how'd you guys get started out at this? What attracted you to want to? Now, I know you went to A&M with James's boy, Cameron.
Yeah, I did. Great guy.
Both of y'all went and got a degree and everything, and both of you are in the fishing business. Now, that doesn't make any sense. That's supposed to be one of the
last
non-essential jobs on the planet, so to speak. That non-essential word's going around a lot right now. But what made you just a passion for it? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, like I said, the earliest memories I got are wade fishing with my dad at a surf site in Freeport and fishing off the jetties. And, you know, and I was homeschooled. So, you know, we'd do 2-3 days of solid work and I'd get a day or two off. And, boy, I'd be out on the water chasing fish. And I just got addicted to it, man.
Oh, goodness.
And I couldn't stop. And I worked three jobs through college. I worked in oil and gas. I worked as a marketing director for a company. And I did it all just to help get through college, and but nothing. I just kept going back to fishing because nothing filled that void in my heart.
it's like a drug, man.
It is, man.
Tug is the drug.
And it truly, that's what sets, like, that's why I love fishing with Jeff as well, because, you know, when you've got somebody that has an equal passion, you know, I mean, you're out there, you don't worry about the drama, the this or that, you're out there to have a good time. And
that's what kept me going. You know, Blaine and I, we've known each other since the fourth grade in elementary school, and we both ended up being guides at about the same time. He tried other professions like I did. I went through the business world.
Sure.
Then I tried my luck in construction, on new plant construction as a millwright and all that. And, man, it just – then I got back in the retail business. I had a Goodyear store in Baytown, and I was taking truck tire counts and all that, fishing on Wednesdays and entertaining them. They said, man, you ought to do this for a living. You're a natural at it.
Yeah.
And guess what? Here I am.
Still fishing.
Kind of like Terry Bradshaw and what's Duck Dynasty, the head guy's name?
Phil Robertson.
Phil Robertson.
Yep.
He was actually the best quarterback at Louisiana Tech or you know, one of those colleges over there. And they asked him, said, why didn't you seek a career in pro football? He said, well, Terry went for the Bucks, and I went for the Ducks.
That's
kind of what we did. Well, Jeff, how'd you get into this?
Kind of similar story. Grew up, you know, fishing with my uncle. Like I said, I ran into a few guys that were really important in my life, and Dave Coudon being one of them. And
good guy,
man.
One of the best friends I had back in the day when he was here in Galveston. He was a super guy. Yeah. Great fisherman too, the way.
Incredible
fishing machine.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I ran to him, and you know, he started in on the guide business and what it takes, and basically tried to talk me out of it, I think, more than anything.
Right.
You know.
Well, he knows. I mean, he's been through it all.
Oh yeah, yeah. And he went through the hard times and good times and everything.
Ooh, we
else.
Had
and,
some.
Man, and, you know, I kind of started out that way. And to be honest with you, I bought my first boat, I don't know, probably 12, 13. And, you know, Pops took me out, and bless his heart, it was a calm, flat day. And we took off 20 miles.
Oh,
buddy, I just never looked back, you know.
And yeah, you just kept driving.
That's it, man. I just kept going, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, I did like much like everybody else, made a living in the oil industries and whatever, you know what I mean? And then,
well, that's a roller coaster industry.
Wow. And that's it. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, start out doing running shutdowns, stuff like that, you know, which is, you know, it was always hit or miss,
right?
You know, ups and downs all the time. So I had couple month spans every year, you know, I just stay fishing and jumped on, went down to the local yacht club there and put an ad up saying I'd be a deckhand for anybody to take me. And Bubba, anybody who called, I didn't care what you
first
know,
boat available, I'm jumping on it,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, that's it, man. We're sailing.
Look how many boats Cameron's been on over the years, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's how he rolls, and not many guys can say they lead her to 972-pound blue marlin. Is that what the state record
big.
Is?
What that's
is 970,
wow, yeah,
970 something.
That's right. There's not a grand.
I mean,
I
that's one little meal from being a grander, you know.
Man, I'm telling you.
That's one
is
meal.
Is that bad? Yeah. That's terrible.
That's that's something else. But,
yeah.
No, we're all nestled in up here and going good.
People are going nuts on the Facebook this
are
morning,
they?
Too.
It,
yeah,
you got a good crowd out there,
got
bud?
A good crowd. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Thank y'all very much. Oh, and Sharky is going to give away a Castaway rod.
Yeah.
How are you going to work this? The guy that shares the most?
Yeah, so those of you guys that are tuning in, we put it in the caption right there on the live video. You can catch it on the Early Morning Sickos page or Michael Sharkey Marquez page, but basically share the video, tag three friends in the comments, and at the end we'll pick somebody random to give this thing away to.
Now, what is that, a croaker smoker?
This is the inshore smoker.
Inshore smoker.
Very
okay.
Similar to the croaker smoker.
Yep.
But a durable, it's a medium action spinning.
Right.
And, man, we've caught it everywhere.
You can winch in bull reds and everything with that. I've seen you do it on video many times.
That's
so.
A bad rod right there.
That is.
Sure
it
is.
It's, I believe it's a 7-foot. This might be a, 7-foot rod.
Perfect.
And, it's great. All around inshore.
That's
inshore
slayer.
Work.
Heck yeah, man.
I got, Dan, a guy says, he says Honda, Suzuki, or Yamaha. And, buddy, let me tell you, you sitting in a room full of Honda, baby.
Honda, baby, Honda.
That's it, man.
Yeah. We're Honda nerds.
That's it.
We are.
Wonderful.
Could you ask for a better group of Honda reps in one room? Like,
you know, when I was a kid, my first motorcycle was a Honda and several more after that. But I remember when I'd go to the dealership and get oil change kits and all that, and and for your bike that have those stickers out. And I remember the one sticker I remember, if my Honda could cook, I'd marry it. That was a sticker back then. That's way back there. That is, sounds probably kind of nerdy nowadays.
That but, is epic. Oh,
anyway, well, let's go ahead and knock out this first commercial break, and after that we'll come back and we'll continue on. But first, it is 4:16 right here in the Bayou City, and we're streaming live on Facebook. And Sharky, tell our listeners how to stream us live.
Yes, absolutely. So, first of all, you can check out the Early Morning Sickos page. If you're,
right.
If you're not a part of that, no big deal. You can find us on Michael Sharky Marquez. If you check out that that page right there, you'll be able to tune in live and watch and also comment your questions. We're getting a ton of awesome questions. If we don't have the opportunity to answer them live right now, we could answer them during a commercial break or
yeah. Well,
whatever,
we'll just go all the way through it. We'll take the questions as they come. So, and the text line, if you don't want to do it on Messenger or on Facebook or anything like that, text me at 713-480-6713. That's 713-480-6713, and that'll get it done. We were talking about how we all got started in this, and it's been a heck of a run, Woodrow. Heck of a party. You know, let's see, I started gadding in October of 1980. That's when I ran my first trip. And I remember the wells in Trinity Bay were red hot. It was a late fall, actually. It was still really in the transition times between September and October. And the big trout, the little trout were on the shorelines. We were catching them waiting, a lot of males and everything. But all the big females, they were just stacked on all the Exxon wells in the north end of the bay.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll never forget my first guided trip. It was just every time a popping cork and a live shrimp would hit the water, 7 to 8 pounders would just come up on them. And
that must be the good days, right?
Oh, it was crazy.
7 to 8 pounders.
Oh, we didn't have limits, and you had to stack those fish in your boxes just right and then ice them so you'd have enough room.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to carry 2, 3, and 4 ice chests on your boat. Back then, I thought the big cooler was an 86-quart igloo.
Yeah.
Wow.
We didn't ask. We didn't go with numbers back then. We just went by boxes. How many boxes you got?
Wow.
And, it was pretty wild. How times have changed.
Yeah.
And just, you know, all the population explosion in this area. It just, you know, when my dad, I think when he graduated from Melby High School in Houston, there was, 300,000 people in Houston?
Yeah.
Well, so
we're beyond that now.
What are we in the whole Houston area, like 4.5 million?
Yeah.
It's huge, man.
Massive.
And it takes a hit on our resource out there. That's why we got to.
Sure does.
Got to watch what we do.
That's one thing I've heard from a lot of talking with guys that have been fishing here their whole lives, and, you know, middle-aged guys or older, and they're like, man, you know, the fishery's back in, you know, when we were growing up in high school. I mean, you could get on any point, just like you're saying, any point, any oyster reef, cast you a live shrimp in there and catch you a 6-7 pound trout.
And the surf, it just ran rampant with huge speckled trout.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was... When that surf would lay down, you could drop off in the surf. And, you know, back then all we had, you know, when I was growing up as a kid, we had Florida Shiners. That was a balsa wood plug. And we had Bingos, all their variety, the King, Queen, and you know, the Bingo Humps. You had the Plug and Shorties was a shrimp imitation.
Yeah.
We caught a few on those. We didn't throw them, but we couldn't throw them far enough with the inadequate tackle we had. We wanted a bigger bait. Maybe that's why we caught so many big trout back then in the surf.
Because you're chucking huge baits,
It, but you just pull down on the west end, you know, and all you smelled was watermelon up all up and down the beach. Just millions of sticks from the seawall to San Luis Pass.
Wow.
And it just, that's how many fish were roaming that surf back then. And then you had the seiners, those netters, and they'd run their nets out. And a lot of times you'd be waiting, everybody lined up on the third bar catching the heck out of trout, and they'd just drop their nets in and just surround you, and you'd have to get out of the water. And we thought we were catching fish till we watched them pull those nets in, and they were just loaded with all these huge monster fish, man. Sharks mixed in with them, rays, and I mean, we're waiting out in the middle of all that mess, and they'd have jacks in there.
Just everything.
Sheephead. Just it was nuts.
The fisheries
bull whiting
was
like that
nuts.
Back then. Oh, big old whiting.
Mob, yeah, you were talking about before we went on air, you were talking about it would be nothing to go catch you some 3-4 pound croakers. I mean,
oh yeah, rollover pads.
Talking about some good eating.
I was showing him those old pictures from back in the 50s. Steve Lyles made those up for me and put them on canvas and gave them to me. Friend of mine here in Baytown, and that canvas art, that's pretty cool. Kind of like that picture of me and Blaine up there back in the day. That was in the early 80s. Look at those old red ball waders we were wearing.
Boy, I tell you.
You know, that's real old school. Look at the rods. They were custom made back then, graphite rods.
Sure.
And they had those foam type handles on them.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's all Abu Garcia reels, huh?
No, those were actually Iowa Procaster reels we were throwing back then in the early 80s. And then Shimano came out with the, what do they call them? Oh, goodness. They were little black reels, and they had the magnetic adjustment dial on the left side of them. What were those called? Bantam mags. Shimano Bantam mags.
Nice.
My memory's not that good. That's way back. That's irrelevant now.
You know what I like?
That's
I like.
Garbage if we threw it now.
That's what I'm saying. I like listening to people, and they're like, man, you got to have the bestest, the smoothest, the furthest.
And speaking of all
50
that.
50-to-1 right gear ratio.
All behind the time.
Me, I brought a
break
couple.
Out these bad boys.
Got a couple of my babies right here.
That's what
now,
I'm
these are the
about.
Castaway Invictus.
Oh, those are some sweet rods.
And I got the Donk and the Wader Medium Light. And all these, man, I love these rigs.
They're about as light as they'll come.
They are. And now this new Boss 13, it's a little bit heavier than other reels. Not much. You can't even tell. You can feel how light that is.
Oh, shoot.
You see that bait that's on there, that top water? Guess what that is? That was probably the best top water on the entire planet.
Check
when it
out.
First came out, that was that's a Rebel Jumpin' Minnow. That's a brand new one, one of my old ones I pulled out of the package.
Rebel Jumpin' Minnow.
And, I took that to Baffin with
sweet.
Me. I never caught anything on it, but I chunked it.
The honesty is real.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know what? That in a school of big old redfish would be
pretty infatuated with this thing, to be
honest
with you. That reel cover is pretty
hot. That's our new reel cover.
Is it?
And it's, remember those rulers you used to get?
All the snap
you could
all
hit on
one,
your
yeah.
wrist and it'd wrap around your wrist.
Yeah.
Well, that's got that same material in there.
Wow.
And see how it locks?
Yeah, that's neat.
Oh, that's
and then when
cool.
When you put it on your reel, see how it just flipped down and it'll lock around there. And you just take it and put it on the side of your reel.
Who makes
the reel
that?
Cage there, 13.
13?
Yeah.
Really?
And
super cool.
You just put this over your handle right there and then wrap that around and let it snap in place.
Oh, that's the money.
And that'll keep salt spray and everything off and dirt and corrosion from getting in there and covering your reel up.
That's
and,
the money right there.
It's real sweet and easy to do. And it won't blow out the boat as easy as the, you know, like the cloth ones we use.
Yeah. And that neoprene just soaks up that salt and keeps it right next to your wrist.
That's
actually
it.
Probably more devastating than the bumps and bruises, that kind of thing.
But,
back in the day, you know, what the reel covers were is Crown Royal. The bags.
Yeah,
the
bag, everybody used to make reel covers out of Crown Royal bags.
They look cool.
When I was growing up, you know, I mean, I remember my dad going in his
I had a neighbor lady made a complete king-size bedspread out of Crown Royal bags.
Royal
pretty
bags.
Cool looking.
And now that's they got neat. So many different colors.
I'm not going to name their names because apparently they drank a lot of Crown Royal back in the day.
Oh, man.
But
what do you think about those reels? What do you think
I love them. They're holding up really good. Yeah. This is the TXZ. This is what I throw just about all the time.
Yeah.
I fell in love with this one. And then that new Boss.
Yeah.
And that's pretty sweet looking.
Yeah, it throws like a dream. It's you know, all these reels have a 22-pound bulldog drag system, and they're just money, straight
awesome.
Money.
I've
you get a
fish.
Big red on him, you just winch down on him, just go ahead and horse him on in, get him off the hook.
You know,
out of the way.
22 pounds.
My uncle, you know, growing up, we fished in the surf a lot, you know, live shrimp just with a single split shot on it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And we would go get the biggest all-star 8-foot rod they made, you know, because we wanted to sling that thing with old Abu Garcia, you know.
Right.
And I like that big, long bottom handle. So, I could really winch it, you know.
Yeah, you can put the swat on it with two hands,
that's
man.
That's it.
Sling it.
You know.
And with popping corks and fishing live bait rigs like that, that's handy.
Yeah.
But throwing plugs, all you need is that one.
That's
the little.
It's just a good – it's all timing.
Because all that adds weight.
Man, I tell you what, you do that with one of those reels, and you can dang near sling the line right off, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Oh, man.
But yeah, you're talking about people, you know, needing the best gear, considering that's, you know, how you catch fish, and I see it all the time, man. It's unreal.
Hey, I caught some big old fish on a Walmart rig, all right?
That's right. A Walmart rig?
Oh,
one of the combo rigs. Shoot. You buy for like $29.95.
I'm telling you, back in the day, I was pier, you know, I got started out in Galveston by pier fishing off 61st Street, mm-hmm. and I remember there was these portions of the pier that are for surf rods only, and it was only the cool kids that were fishing on the surf rod side.
Yeah.
And here I show up with my little 6.5 foot, $20, you know, Walmart
little
pole.
Johnny jump up.
That's
rig,
it, man. With the ugly stick that's been ran over by an 18-wheeler on clearance, you know. And but I tell you what, I started whacking some bull reds and sharks, and like, all right, this little kid knows what he's doing.
That's
so,
it, maybe.
But
you know, people ask me all the time, you know, what do I need? What do I, you know?
Shoot.
Here's a good question that came in.
Shoot. It
says, what is the best way to keep a trout from losing weight if you don't have a live well during a tournament?
That is a good question.
Dang, good question.
They called the right guy for that because, you know, I had the Troutmaster tournament for years, and we used to stress this with all our participants, how to take care of their fish to keep that maximum weight on them. A lot of people think, oh, I'm going to keep my cooler with slush and ice.
Sure.
Well, you can't get that fish as cold as you need it to be with the water in there.
Okay.
You want straight dry ice on them, lay them out flat, and cover, you know, put your bed ice down first and then cover them again. And what that'll do, that slows down the
rigor mortis or whatever.
Well, no, rigor mortis will set in, but it keeps them from
evaporating.
What do you call it? Decomposing. A decomposition will set in the meat, actually, if they're not kept right at 32 degrees.
Wow.
And that's critical weight. Plus, if they're not cold enough, they'll actually start flopping around in there, and they can actually secrete the water out of their stomach and regurgitate also.
Wow.
And you could lose.
That's weight.
Lost tournaments, and now this is no joke. You know, in redfish tournaments or trout tournaments, I've actually lost tournaments by one little bitty crab that he coughed up in the live well. If he'd have kept that crab in him, that would have made all the difference in the world. Or, you know, one shad or finger mullet in a speckled trout. Because, you know, all these tournaments, they go into hundreds. And hundreds are like, you know, like a weight of a dime.
Yeah.
And that's all you need. And sometimes, and that hurts. When you lose by two 100s,
right?
You know, 50 grand sitting there looking at you, and you lose by two 100s.
You're wishing he didn't throw that crab up.
Oh, you're just beating yourself in the head going, man, why not sew that fish's mouth shut?
Yeah, that's right.
Should have kept him in the cooler like this.
Oh, I'm telling you. It just, that's a really good question there, and that's the best way. Keep them as cold and dry as you can.
Sure.
Absolutely.
And, it makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely.
And they'll stay fresh forever. You know, we used to use a Torrey meter, and what we'd do, it shoots a positive charge through the fish to a negative side. It's like a magnetic deal, and it was actually invented it's made in Ireland. It was invented for the Japanese tuna industry.
Wow.
Where they could come to the docks, and they'd hit them with a Torrey meter, and they'd pay top dollar for the freshest tuna and for their sushi bars over in Japan and everything. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this lovely Saturday morning. Blowing a little bit out there. It's calm in the studio, isn't it? It's
sure
nice
is.
In here.
Beautiful.
We don't have any slicks popping or any bait jumping yet, but that'll all.
I smell some watermelon there. You got some in the freezer?
We may break some of that out, you know, some of that slick smell.
Wow.
The old proverbial watermelon smell. How sweet that is.
It brings back good memories.
Well, when those trout are gorging on shrimp, you know, like brownies and whites, and, man, they start regurgitating that watermelon smell. There's none to duplicate it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, shad's a little bit of a different type of smell. It's a little oilier smell.
Yep. Yeah.
And then, like redfish, when they're eating crabs and all that garbage, man, it's kind of a, you know, it smells nasty sometimes.
Yeah.
And people go, there's no way you can tell the difference, you know.
Oh, shoot.
But you can.
Long enough, I guarantee
you can.
It, right?
You can definitely do that.
Sweet.
But welcome back to the show, folks. I got Michael Sharky Marquez in from Galveston, Texas, and we have Jeff Nalem Naylor from Freeport.
Hey.
We're going to be talking anything from trout fishing to catching tuna, marlin,
yeah,
swordfish.
Everything.
Everything.
Jetty Run. How about that Jetty Run you were on before they shut you down? That School of Jacks you got in the other day, that was incredible.
It was unreal. It was unreal.
I was hoping that was redfish. I saw that water boiling out there, and then I started seeing the Jacks doing this, you know.
Yeah.
All y'all are bowed up and real screaming.
Man,
that was pretty wild.
It was crazy. You could, at that point, you could throw anything you got, a bear hook.
Amazing.
And they'll smoke it, but. It was incredible, and you know,
weren't you able to gaff a couple out of
the
boat?
They, free gaffing. Those things.
That's in them thick right there, buddy.
When you could just reach down and free gaff a jack, that's you're in a
that's
a
pretty
school.
Wild.
You're in a
pretty
big incredible. School. But
you ever free gaffed a ling offshore when they come up by the boat?
To be honest with
you, rip your arms out of socket, man.
Yeah, you know what? I can't say that free gaff one, but I tell you what, I've gaffed him dang green. He might have just ate the bait, and I smoked him and dropped him in. You know, it's it made me a little nervous, even with those lean. They'll kick the crud out of your
They got that
your
one prong,
there.
Right, that's like wicked. Or well, there in the – you know what else has that? A big old black – big old ugly – big old black drum.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had them on the BOGO grips, 40, 50 pounders, and they'll thrash, and that thing comes back, and they got that prong in them.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, right in the leg. That'll
just think if that was a sheep head that big and he got you with those top fins.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, Lord.
To get my leg amputated.
Those things are brutal. That's the saltwater armadillo is what that is.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Got a question here from Vernon. What type of sunglasses do all of you use, and what color lens? That's a good question.
That is a good question. I'll start. You start. It don't matter to me.
Go for it.
So I like
feel froggy jump, baby.
I like a green. You know, for Florida guys, they're fishing a lot higher clarity water, a lot more, a lot bluer, and so it's going to be different for those guys. For us in Galveston, we don't see that water clarity very often, so I use a green lens, and it really helps with kind of the murkiness, the inshore. Once you start getting offshore, I'll
you know what, the blue tint tends to be my go-to, but I use green as well. I mean, I do.
But a lot of that tint is on the outside, but from the inside looking out, you know, I use an amber for shallow water and cleaner water. Mm-hmm. And then during the day when the sun's up real high, then I'll go to a gray.
Yeah.
And when I'm running around, I can see mud balls. I mean, they just stick out like a sore thumb.
Sure,
And, you know, you see those color changes and stuff real easy with them. But wade fishing, most time, I'm an amber guy because you start out early in the morning. But even when the sun gets up with that blue shield they put on the front side of the lens, it blocks that sunlight, and you still get that good penetration with the amber.
Oh, yeah.
And
I do like the amber a lot. I think it really contrasts the colors. And like you said, I feel like I can see the shadows of the fish maybe even a little better.
Yeah, offshore in that clean water you're in, you can see way down with those amber lenses, man.
You're like, man, look at that. Your customers are like, what?
It's different,
And I noticed that when I was down fishing Baffin with Cliff Webb in that real clean water. I call it mineral water. God, what therapy. All that grass. And then you can just see fish just gliding by.
Yeah.
Big old trout just.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not even wagging his tail, just cruising. Why didn't he hit my lure?
Little submarine.
I can't fish anymore. That fish should have ate my corky, you know.
Yeah. But right. Y'all went down there earlier this year, didn't you?
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah. We had a great trip.
Nice.
We waded the first day and caught a lot of trout. I don't know. We caught 30 or 40 trout wading the first day. We had two shots at two really big fish. I pulled out a broken back. Back when I used to go down there a lot, an orange broken back or a black back orange gold side broken back were really hot back then. And I'm throwing corkies, and I could see two or three of them up in there real tight against the grass. Mm-hmm. And I kept changing the angle of my cast, and I couldn't get him to even react to it. And I put that broken back on, and that one big one, man, she spun around and waked up behind it and grabbed it and took drag straight away from me and then pulled loose, man. I'll show you the lure I hooked it on. This was my Baffin box that day. This is what I was waiting with it, Baffin.
If you're not watching live, you need to be. Because
we've seen these lure lock boxes with a gel in the bottom of them. Are you using those yet?
No, but I've seen them.
Look at that, how it holds that tackle in there. It's got see that sticky gel?
Wow.
And once you get a little grit and dirt in there, you can actually put that in a dishwasher. Take your lures out, wash it in the dishwasher, and put all your baits back
incredible.
In it. But here's the bait I was using that day. That's the It's the old Redfin broken back.
Wow.
Now, they make that in a straight back.
Sure.
And that bait right there, you can see I put those good red hooks on there. I changed the hooks out.
Change your hooks, guys. Change your hooks.
And
what is this, a extra sharp 3X Eagle Claw?
No, that's the Mustad.
Mustad.
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful.
And, but
beautiful.
My biggest stringer ever came off of a bait like that, except it's straight back. It's not jointed.
Yeah.
And it has three treble hooks instead of two.
Yeah.
And we used to throw those a lot. Yeah, it's a beautiful bait.
Does it sink slightly or anything like that?
No, it floats when you throw it out. And then see the shallow running bill on it? You just jig it down, and it'll go under the water about a foot, and you stop it, and it'll sit there and crab walk back to the surface, and usually they'll just take it away from you.
That's a mahi slayer, I bet.
But that's the box that I got out of the boat with, one of them.
And I see a lot of red hooks in here. And so is there a reason that you're throwing red?
The weight of them's a little more. See, on this Fat Boy, I went to that bigger red hook on the front.
I see that.
It gives me a better sink rate in that real salty water down at Baffin.
Beautiful.
A lot of people can't get their baits down there, these corkies, because of the salinity so high.
Right.
And you go to that little bit bigger red hook on the front, and then you keep the original, Fat Boy hook on the back.
Yeah.
And you'll get a little more head sink. And get that lure to go down, and then you do all that hoochie-cooing and jigging and everything else with it.
Hoochie-cooing.
Yeah.
That's the new word right there.
That's beautiful.
But
got to get that red hook so you can hoochie-coo.
Yeah, and you noticed I had some 7M floating mirror lures.
Yeah, those are awesome.
Those work good down there, and naturally, look at all the lilies in here. Got that lime truce one there. And here's the Mari special. A lot of people don't know what it is. That's the 08H. That's... out of all the lilies I've thrown, I've caught more fish on a 08, that color spectrum right there, than any bait.
Dynamite.
Whether it's off-colored water, sandy, or, really, really clear.
Yeah. And this is a black, for those of you who aren't watching on Facebook Live, this is a dark back here with a yellow.
Yeah, it's kind of got a goldish and silverish holographic side to it. See how the... it has that like a water reflection on it, that shimmer. Yeah. There you go. That's a good word.
That's good for a reaction strike.
Yeah, and it's got that kind of grayish white underlie on it, like the belly look of a finger mullet.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That makes me want to go chunk that thing right now.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the beauty in the offshore, going and getting a big old school of mahi, like some chicken mahi, and you revert back to your trout heritage, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Throwing
anything, babe.
Yeah.
Keep it running.
That's it.
Keep him in the water. Keep him in the water.
Chicken dolphin on trout tackle, man.
That's it. And what more fun to catch, what I mean? That'd give you a good run.
Hey, when I used to run offshore trips after the freeze in 90, we had to start running offshore to make a living.
Yeah.
James and them got into the tarpon fishing big time. So I went snapper and kingfishing and all that.
Yeah.
And just go out in the big water. I didn't know what I was doing, but it just all came. I mean, I said, man, these fish out here eat like piranhas, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Buy you about four boxes of ice fish every morning and get you some big gizzard sheds. Cigar minnows or whatever y'all call them now. We called them ice fish
back then. I like that.
But
we're going to bring these sayings back is what we're going to do.
We got a limit of snap. Wow. I had these four ladies, and one of them was a bass pro. She fished on the bass circuit. But I took them out there, and we smoked the snapper right off the bat, get a limit of those, and we went and wiped the kings out for about 3 hours. I just lit them. Melt everything down. We got a huge school of kings on a shrimp boat. And on the way back in, I hit a weed line, and I was trying to catch them a ling. There were so many chicken dolphin, I can't even tell you how many there were. I just took the trout rods out with just a bare jig head, and I was cutting up these little chunks of ice fish, and they'd just tip it with that.
Oh, yeah.
They love it.
I finally had to tell them to stop. Dwayne Lowry back then was deckhanding for me.
Yeah.
He's a guy down in Port O'Connor. And, we made them stop. We get to the dock, and we poured all those chicken dolphin out, and Dwayne's looking at me. He said, I think I'm going to go clean the boat up. That boat was a gut wagon.
Yeah.
You know how they bleed. They're just nasty.
My goodness. They make a
mess. I mean, you kept the pump running all day trying to wash it down. You couldn't keep all the blood out. But he looked at me and said, I'll go clean the boat up. I had to fillet all those. There was 164 of them.
Oh, wow.
I said, I'll never do that again as long as I live. I started putting a limit on them. I said, you get 10 apiece. That's good for table fare. We're not catching anymore.
Yeah.
Because they'll keep eating until you have to drive off from them.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Will.
That's fun, man, especially when you got some kids.
These women went crazy over them.
Yeah.
They're pretty, right?
I had to pull a gun on them and make them quit, man.
Wow.
Well, not really. Wow. But
The ladies or the fish?
Both. Shoot them all.
Shoot, man.
They're a lot of fun, you know.
I've heard of people doing the they'll almost get like a Gatorade bottle or something that'll float. And so, you know, the rule of thumb is once you catch that first mahi, keep it in the water until the next person hooks up.
Right.
I've heard of people tying rigs up that float and, you know, tying the mahi, little chicken dolphin, letting him, you know, float. And
yeah, that's called ballooning fish.
You know what
I'm saying? You can't do that in a bay anymore. Yeah. People used to balloon trout and let them go, and they'd go back to the school, and they'd follow that balloon all over the bay catching them up.
Yeah.
Is that
illegal now. In the bay it is, I know, with TPNW.
I want no comment on that one.
We'll go no comment. We're on live radio, so, you know, we'll go no comment.
Hey, it's all good.
That's it, babe. You know, they shoot, there's all kinds of, you know, but at the same time, though, Mickey, I pulled up on schools. I looked down that water, and the blue is just haze with green and yellow. And just as far as you can see, and them suckers won't eat anything. I mean, they literally will not eat anything you throw at them.
That'll drive you batty, won't it?
It will. But you know, one of the tricks that I do is you pull back and you put some old feather jig or something like that, troll around them, troll one, a couple of real fast by them, and sometimes you can get them back going again. You know.
Yeah. We got some.
Here's one. How about using a kite to surf fish? Have y'all done any of that? Surf fishing with a kite?
Yeah, just to get to get the baits out.
Yeah.
Is that what he's talking about?
Well, I don't know. He just said, how about using a kite to surf fish?
That yeah, probably kiting baits out. The wind's got to be perfect. It's got to be blowing against your back to be able to send it out. We'll use a little snap swivel with the breakaway, and you pop it, and that bait falls. We'll do it for shark fishing out of Florida.
Yeah, so you get your bait way out there. That makes sense. Yeah.
If you're not feeling like kayaking or I don't know if that's what he's referring to.
Well, but, I don't know. How about a potato gun? You seen those guys do that?
The CO2 launchers? Yeah.
Man, the drones have become real big.
Yeah, drone dropping now. Yeah. They're dropping drones on our fish, man. The fish don't have a chance anymore.
No, they're done. Yeah.
We don't have a chance anymore.
Yeah. I saw a guy, you know, the other day advertising that he does drone drop
fishing charters.
Yeah, on the beach.
That's a lot of work right there, buddy.
Drone drop fishing charters.
I commented, hey, man.
His
thumbs
are tired.
That works. Yeah.
Shoot. I got a question. Are voodoo shrimps worth all the hype? Voodoo shrimps.
The voodoo shrimps.
You know, those real, real replicate. I mean, they look just like a shrimp.
Yeah, they look just like a shrimp. I've never used the voodoo shrimp.
I've used them in the lights before.
I know a lot of the guys around me that throw the DOA shrimp under a popping cork on the wells in the summertime. I know they do that. Now, I've tried that, what is it called, a marker 52?
Yes.
Have you seen those? Yes. They're real hard.
Hard
make
bodies.
A soft one now, too. They make a hard plastic one, and it's all jointed where the tail flips.
It looks just like a live shrimp.
They got a brownie, and they got a white one. One day I was catching some trout on a purple Little John, and we were in them good. We're just releasing, and I had the power pole down. I said, I'm going to try that shrimp now and see how. Hey, I couldn't get it back. You can either jig it or you can just reel it. You can hold your rod up. You know how a shrimp, when fish are chasing shrimp, under the birds and stuff, you'll see those shrimp come up and just swim real slow on the surface, trying to get little eggs going like that.
Yeah.
Hey, they knew.
So you
that
were
thing.
you were smoking fish. I even bought a couple years back at the fishing show.
I don't think I have one in a box here. Dang it.
So to answer your question,
yes,
it's an if on the voodoo shrimp, but
I've never thrown the voodoo. Is it marker 54 or 52?
It's 52, yeah.
One of them markers, but you'll know what I'm talking about.
The voodoo shrimp is great for fishing in the green lights. It's a really awesome bait. I use the lighter weight ones that they come, you know, that they produce, and just to hold it kind of up in that strike zone. But that's a pretty cool fish right there.
There's a big dolphin that's Kit Caston. He used to fish all my Troutmaster tournaments. He's a great guy.
He's a big old dolphin.
And he caught that dolphin on a Judy Wong bass rod.
Wow. Oh, I see it.
28-pound dolphin.
Ooh. Pretty legit.
Pretty cool, huh?
That's a good
Pretty
one.
Pretty legit.
But if you have any questions for our talent up here this morning, give us a call at 713.
Or text.
It's a habit. I can't get out of that. Text us at 713-480-6713. We'll be glad to answer what we can. I'm sure somebody up here. It's marker 51 now. Von,
marker
my buddy.
Marker 51.
It's marker 51.
Okay. This is
I knew somebody's get it right out of this group.
Shoot, 50 to 59. We know it's a 50. Okay.
Yeah.
Are the Jacks still running around out there? We're headed to the surf shortly out here. You know, Jason. I guess it was a couple days ago. I took a real good friend of mine with pin fishing out, and was fishing Danny Wentz, and definitely there's a lot of birds that are working outside the south right now. The main thing is just holding that water clarity. With the winds as crazy as they are, that water's going to be stirred up.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
There's not as much bait on the surface, which are kind of calling in those jacks. So I wouldn't bank on jacks being out there super thick. I know you blasted out on Sunday, was it, trying to find some jacks, and it was a struggle.
It was a struggle. You know, and they come and go from time to time. But the way I used to fish them back in the day is, you know, they'd be on the end of the jetties.
Yeah.
And then a little more towards the morning time, they'd find themselves in the surf. So you just run along that, you know, fourth or fifth sandbar until you saw them schooling again and kind of catch them up, you know.
Yeah. Looking for birds.
Looking for birds.
Birds diving.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
Throwing spoons in there. I mean, when the jacks are there, it's hard not to catch them.
Oh, yeah.
What a fun fighting fish. And so what I didn't know, I'm really transitioning into the offshore stuff. And this year we're really excited to be blasting out into the blue water.
Deep blue.
And but you were telling me how incredible Jack Crevel was for bait.
Bait.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The best.
Bull shark bait too, buddy.
Bull shark. Yeah. I mean.
Alligator bait also.
Oh yeah.
It's good bait for gators. Yeah.
You know what else is good for gators? Bonita.
Bonita.
We used to save those, and they're real bloody.
Yeah.
Oh, they're super
bloody. They made great gator bait run your lines with.
Man,
in
I
the
bet.
Fall.
You know, the reason why I use those jacks opposed to, and Bonita works great too, but the problem with Bonita, it's so soft and that skin. So the idea behind that jack is that
Crevel.
The little ones will peck at it, but it won't deteriorate fast enough for that big one to come.
Talk about for
it,
snapper?
Right? Yeah, for snapper.
Yep.
You know, and so. That's kind of, I think, more the benefit than anything else. You know, just
and
got
you're
super
using
tough
strips.
Skin.
You know, I was asking you. So talk about that. You know, I was like, hey, when I'm filleting these out, because I'm just getting into really looking for big sow snapper and you know, trying to amp up the saltwater deep sea stuff. And you were saying, you know, don't cut them in little chunks. Use that longer strip. And so, what's the reasoning behind that? And
I mean, just that is that you know you start out with the little one. A little bait, and those little fish are going to pluck it to death, right?
Yeah.
So you get a bigger bait.
Exactly.
You know, it gives her a little more meat to chew on whenever she swims past it.
I got
you.
Big bait, big fish.
That's it. I tell you what, you know, you use that jack at the end of the season or mid-season when everything else seems to not be biting, and I guarantee you, you'll pop several of them.
You know, I was with Platts, Bill Platts, all day yesterday. You came out and saw us at the dock, and he has told me the same thing that you've talked about when you're talking about those snapper, how at the beginning of the season, you know, they're super easy to catch. Mm. You can just drop anything down there. But as the season progresses, they start to be a little bit more finicky and picky.
Sure.
And so why is that?
You know,
because
you know,
they're just getting smart?
Trout fishing, you guys trout fish all the time. They constantly are moving, right? I mean, they're going from one spot to the other. Those snapper, they stay on that reef, right?
Right.
So that's a whole colony. They're not going to move from that. Well, listen, any fish that you get jumbled up in one spot and you fish the heck out of are going to get smart at some point. You know, they're going to say, all right, all my friends are gone. You know, this ain't good. You know,
to me.
It's funny, all the big guys are disappearing out of this.
Yeah, world. Really. You know,
our team leaders.
That's it, you know. So, you know, and that's the whole thing behind that. It's just that, you know, you go and fish a reef hard enough, and they all get kind of smart enough, and you got to kind of maneuver and start changing things a lot.
Yeah.
That's how you become successful, you know.
We got a text here. When do you guys think the surf trout are going to show up? Well, I've been hearing the last
question,
time the
right?
Guff was flat, they were catching some little ones.
Yeah, which
there was
means
a few small trout
we're
being caught.
There.
So it's coming.
Those water temperatures, what do you think about May? I mean,
well, you know, when I was a kid, I remember my dad and Uncle Joe and them, we'd get one of these late fronts in the spring coming in April, and it would lay that surf down, and then that next day it would be cleaned up to the beach.
Yeah.
They'd go down there and smoke them, catch big ones.
Yeah.
I think your bigger fish show up earlier,
yeah.
And as the summer goes on, those trout get smaller.
You know, but,
Right now, it's just probably at the beginning with the small trout
showing
up.
We're at the beginning stage. Yeah. If we get some good weather, even towards the end of April.
But you got to hit it right, you know?
Yeah.
That's the bad thing about being tied down to the surf. That's all you got to do. You just got to pick your days.
That's very
few and far between.
Same thing with deep sea blasts.
So, yeah, I mean, you
may like what you're going through right now with offshore.
Well.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's how it works.
We're looking for a window to go next week.
That's it. You know, that's just wintertime. And Charlie, we were talking about, you know, he was talking about a weather window next week. And I said, brother, you cannot bet on a weather window 7 days out, much less.
One day.
You know, it just doesn't work that way. And but you know what? I've always been told, you know, go catch a big trout. I fished a couple of inshore tournaments where I went and caught ballyhoo on the end of the jetties and sunk them right at the rocks.
Big trout bait right there. That's what they use down in Port Isabel.
Yeah.
I thought I had a good stringer in a tournament down there one time. I mean, I was happy. I was headed away and said, man, I'm going to be in the money.
Yeah.
6 pounders. That wasn't good enough.
Wow.
This guy was fishing under the bridge down there with ballyhoo.
Yeah.
He had all 8 and 9 pounders.
Wow.
Every time I've done it.
Wow.
But I was throwing lures. He was throwing bait.
You're throwing them whole?
I'm catching them right there
the
at ballyhoo, the
jetties. Putting them on the hook.
Yeah.
And
sending them right
down.
Back down with like a
Amazing.
2 ounce like egg weight, you know.
Yeah, you're sending it down.
Yeah. Right on the end of the rocks right there. And man, I tell you what, and it just seems like the trout are about the only thing that'll gobble them up, right? I mean, it kind of.
Yeah, if you're looking for something big.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for a big trout.
Well, it's getting that time. We got a break coming up, and. Folks, give us a text up here. We'd love to answer your questions. I got a good crew in here, man. Offshore, jetties, inshore, whatever.
We'll answer it all.
Hopefully we'll have the answer. 713-480-6713.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.